It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24. So please, if you could open your Bibles and begin the study today. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4 is where we're going to begin reading. And so as you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And, of course, that's Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us here at the church, it's 217-847-2717. If you would like to check out our website, I'd love for you to do that. We've got many studies there. The Plan of Salvation is there. Our Constitution is listed there. And it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us, it would be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either will be just fine. So I hope that you would look it up and enjoy that study. Now, please, as we move forwards here quickly, we love to study the precious scripture. We're going to begin reading with Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' shall deceive many, and shall deceive many. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, shall betray one another, shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, because iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come." Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can read your precious word. It's such a joy to study the scripture and come together and be led by the Spirit, that he will direct us through your precious word. So guide and lead us now today. Bring those that have not come by faith to the Lord Jesus to salvation. Show them the way to the cross where you Father, your son died on that cross, shed his blood on that cross, and then rose again 3 days later and brought us not only the victory over death, but also life. Thank you, Father, that we can have this opportunity. Guide and lead us each and every day, but please don't let anyone that's listening here not come and be born again. It's so important, Father. And so guide and lead us now through this study today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we had three questions in the third verse there. And those three questions were, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming? And what shall be the sign of the end of the world? Those three questions were asked in that third verse. And so we did start here with verse 4, but I believe we're going to back up and just read verse 1, 2, and 3 to kind of bring us up to date and catch us up where we're actually studying. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. His disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall be not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. And so it's important that we, as we look at these verses of Scripture, that we understand the disciples were very proud of the temple, but Jesus, kind of shared some things that helped them to maybe bring things into the proper perspective, because, again, this is to be a house of prayer. Instead of that, we know it was a den of thieves. And so for them, and as Mark 13:1 says, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. In other words, we want to show you. And we shared last time we were together that the historian Josephus shared that some of these stones are 45 foot long, 12 foot high, and 18 foot wide. Magnificent stones, and the direction of it, the architecture, everything was just was magnificent for the day. However, the problem was God wasn't there. See, I don't care how beautiful, and you see some beautiful churches. I mean, and they're just the painting and the design, it's just wonderful. However, if God's not present, it's nothing. And that's what Jesus was trying to point out to his disciples here, because in 70 AD, the word was fulfilled. There wasn't one stone upon another. That's hard to imagine. But that's exactly what took place. Now, we have many buildings today we call churches that, sad to say, our Lord and Savior is not present. The Holy Spirit has left. The lampstand is pulled out, as the book of Revelation explains to us. And so, he said, you shouldn't be so excited about this building because of their rejection of me. And they continued, when Jesus was here, and they continued to worship in this temple after Jesus was crucified, after he rose from the dead, after he had given them all the evidence they needed to know that he is the Messiah, and he is going to be King of Kings, and yet they rejected that, and they continued to offer sacrifices and continued to stay under the Mosaic Law, which had been completely fulfilled and was finished. Instead of that, they continued, and so he destroyed in 70 A.D. God brought the Roman army up against it and destroyed it, and left not one stone on top of the other, because you have rejected me, and you have continued to follow after the old way and the old law. Now, again, we're down to look to the three questions, and Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. I have several verses of Scripture here. The many ways, many means that Satan uses to deceive. And one of them is to get a preacher off course to where he's not preaching the gospel anymore. He's not telling people you need to be saved. You're not telling people you're a sinner and you're lost, you're condemned, and you need to be born again. Preachers have stopped preaching that. Also, we find that with all these new versions of the Bible, that is a means of the devil to get you away from the Word of God, get you away from the truth. And it is so, so sad, because so many people have left the old King James. I love it. It's powerful. It will bring salvation to your heart. But so many of these other versions have changed, and there's so many different parts, and some of it, instead of being of Mary being a virgin, it says just a young woman. There are so many things in there that these new versions that the devil has accomplished in watering down the Word of God to where the Spirit of God does not have the ability to work. You must proclaim the Word of God. Then the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, convicts the heart, brings you, shows you're a sinner, and brings you to salvation. And so please understand that we need to be led by the Spirit, not just a book that is easy to read, and that's the reason that you have left the old King James. Go back to the old King James, I plead with you. Got several verses of scripture here. Let's go back to Ezekiel, Daniel. We love the precious scripture. There's Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 6. Ezekiel 13, 6. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, "The Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope, and they would confirm the word." Now, as we look at this precious scripture here, as we find the message of the lying prophets, because that's what we have today. We have many standing in the pulpits that the Holy Spirit has left, the presence of God has left, as the presence of God left the temple, because they left the Word of God. When you leave the Word of God, the Holy Spirit leaves. And many times when a preacher or the church has decided to change the version, they're going to a different Bible, they have left the power, and the Holy Spirit leaves, and no one gets saved. And that's what that verse of Scripture in chapter 13 of Ezekiel is referring to. Now we have many others. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would in no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. We need the anointing power of the Holy Spirit, but ye have the unction, the anointing from the Holy One, and ye know all things. We love the Word of God here. Folks choose to leave. If they choose to leave, are they following their own thoughts and ways, or are they following the Holy Spirit? There's the question. We enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit here. You come, your heart is convicted, your heart is moved, and it's a joy to learn and to study the Word of God. And so I wanted you to see that there are many antichrists. There are many, many false teachers. And the only way you can discern the difference is by the Holy Spirit. And the only way you can enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit is to be born again. You must come by faith to Jesus and be saved. Then you can have that great teacher in your heart, the Holy Spirit. And so please that you listen. Again, we've got several here. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Transforming. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Be aware that there are false teachers, false preachers today standing in many of the pulpits in the places we call a church. But God has withdrawn himself from them. False. Many of them. Matthew 24, which is the chapter we're in, but it's a little further than where we have studied, and that's 23 and 24. For if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. In other words, they're going to be good. They're going to be so good that you're going to have to be born again, have the Holy Spirit in your heart, and ask for great discernship. Because if you're not discerning the truth, you're going to be deceived. So please follow and listen and watch very carefully. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. I told you there were several here. Several warnings. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Stay with the Word of God. Stay with the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Please, please, that you look to the Word of God, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Stay with the old King James, please. Please. A couple more verses of scripture back in Romans chapter 8. We were just there. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Please, trust in Jesus. Be born again. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. Please, listen to the Word of God. Please listen to the Holy Spirit. Please follow after the truth. Back to Matthew chapter 24. As it says in verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. See that you're not deceived. Ye shall hear of wars, rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Only God can write history in advance. Man records history. Man records events after it's happened. God records events before it happens. There was peace at this time among the nations when Jesus was born. But since the day that the Jews rejected their king, that they said no to their Messiah, the day that they made this statement, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children," since that day, now you think about this, since that day, the sword has not departed from the nation of Israel. From that day, what a statement. Millions, literally millions of Jews have been murdered and slaughtered. Yes, it's the cruelty of man, but it's a disobedience of God's chosen people, the Jews. For them to ask, to invite, and to say, "Let his blood be upon us," they did not only condemn themselves, but then they said, "And upon our children." That is the day that peace left the nation of Israel. And it was only because of one reason, their rejection. They not only made this awful statement, but they also completely rejected. Oh, some Jews, they have come. They have saw, recognized, witnessed their mistakes, and they have come by faith to the Lord Jesus and are born again. But that one statement set God against them. Their protector, their sustainer, has left. And they have been left open to the troubles and the tribulations that the world has to offer, because God's protection's gone. Oh, God has seen fit that the nation of Israel still exists. He has kept them intact. But the awful trials and tribulations that they have faced is not because of an evil God. It's because of an evil people. It's because they have rejected. The sword has not departed from them. Let's look back here in Matthew. It should be close to where you were at here in Matthew 24, because it's just a couple verses back. Look at what the Lord Jesus says. "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. You see, the persecution of the Jews is a fulfillment of prophecy. Once again, God tells the future. He proclaims what's going to happen before it happens. Because they rejected their king, they rejected their Messiah, and they chose, instead of that, a thief and a robber. "Give us Barabbas. Crucify him. Crucify him." Everything has been fulfilled. So you see, Jesus can come and can get his bride, and he can do it at any time. Any time. What we're reading here when we talk about in verse 6, he shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Yes, the nation of Israel has had constant battles and wars. We have had many battles and wars. There are many that's going on in the world today, but they will become much worse. Because you see, this is not speaking of an event that's coming, the rapture of the church, and I just said that everything is in place. He could come again to get his church right now. But what he's telling here in Matthew is he is speaking about the revelation. In other words, when Jesus comes and plants his feet upon the Mount of Olives. And that's before the millennial reign. That's at the end of the tribulation. So that's 7 years away. So truly, without question, Jesus could come at any time. At any time. Because what he's telling us right here is something that's 7 years out. And yet it's something that we believe we're witnessing right now. So that's how close it is. That's how soon that he could come. Again, everything has been fulfilled that he could come and get his bride. 1 Corinthians 15:52 gives a timeline. We don't know when this is going to take place. It's not for us to know. I think we've read that scripture very recently. 1 Corinthians 15:52. And it tells us, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and they shall be changed. For this corruption, this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass that saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. See, the law condemns, remember? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Please come by faith to the Lord Jesus and be born again. He's coming soon. So the timeline that we're looking at here is, again, the revelation, the time when Jesus comes and plants his feet upon Mount of Olives and ushers in the millennial reign and destroys the enemy, the end of the tribulation. So as we see these things and we think they're so close now, it's got to happen immediately, it's 7 years out. So it is to come very soon, very quickly. We find no peace in the earth, but there's only one peace that can be found, and that is knowing the Lord Jesus as your Savior. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He gives us peace. But you'll only find that peace if you come by faith to the Lord Jesus. You must be born again. Please let the Holy Spirit have his free will today. Surrender to him, confess your sin, and say, Jesus, please, come into my heart and save me. What a joy. What a joy. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?